But our theme during this time is love in real time. And certainly want to thank Brother Arthur Wright. Brother White is a real foot soldier. He's watching on Facebook Live. I know he is. He's going to press his way out, but let's pray for him as well. There's a word tonight from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 35 through 37. We'll take just a few of those. And it reads, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." I want to preach tonight under the larger banner of love in real time from the sermonic title, "Where's the Evidence, Part 2. Where's the Evidence, Part 2. There's nothing more frustrating than running into a roadblock or a detour, especially if you've got to be someplace on time. First you think, how can I get out of this mess, and why did I take a wrong turn? And you say, well, Reverend, this is Live Oak, but I know you may not have big city traffic, but every now and then a tree will fall in the road. Every now and then something will happen that will separate you or create a barrier for you getting to where you had planned to go. Isn't that amazing that life is like that? The best laid plans. You had your 5-year plan that by the time you got a certain age, you would have this and that. But there are things that happen in life that can put your plan on hold for the larger plan of God. But this whole thing about separation anxiety, there are some things that causes us to be a little nervous about not having what's at the core of our life. And when I think about our preachment tonight, the evidence we're looking for is we found out that there's something out there that seeks to separate us from the love of Christ. We know he loves us, but there are barriers. We go to Sunday school, but there are barriers. We pay our tithes. We treat our neighbor right. We are helpful and handy people. But every now and then in life, unbeknownst to you, there are things that seek to separate you at the level of your faith. Things that want to get in the way of your love for Christ. Isn't that amazing that something would happen to keep you? You want to love Christ, and then there are things that occur in your life that keep you from doing that or cause you to become frustrated. Oh, last time we had Jesus in a conversation with his disciples over in John 13, and he says, "I have a new command that you love one another as I have loved you." And then verse 35 says, "By this, men and women and children and co-workers," can I just add to it, "will know that you are my disciples based on how you treat one another." Amen. Amen. And so we really begin to talk about that on last time and about this sense of where's your evidence? How does love fit in this particular narrative? And so tonight is post-resurrection. Tonight it is after Jesus has already gone back, and the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. In his writing to the church at Rome, he is discussing with them something that's happening in the camp that's affecting how they believe. We're blessed tonight to be able to come to the rec center. Nobody gonna bother us, and we can have church. Amen. Amen? But you will find, and many of you have traveled all over the world, that kind of freedom is not always there. And Paul detected that there was something happening in the camp. He discovered evidence that the saints of God were being blocked from loving the Lord with all of their heart. You say, Reverend, I don't have that problem. I love the Lord. But I want to declare, I want to suggest tonight that there are things and people and places that will get in the way of your loving Jesus. And so the key question becomes, who can separate us from the love of Christ? I kind of grapple with that thing. I said, now all the friends listen and say, who? And so tonight I want to talk about the people and the problem and the process. Amen? Uh-huh. So who shall separate us? Maybe for you it's one person who gets on your last nerve. You can say amen. It's one person that rubs you the wrong way. That's the who in your experience. That's the evidence of somebody who keeps trying to trip you up in your faith. Or it may be a group of people. Now, don't name names. A group of people who just seem to rub you in a way that causes you to almost want to lose your religion. Amen? But Paul said, who? I got stuck right there. Yeah, he didn't name names. Who can get in the way? Who can try and trip me up? Who can try to start some trouble with me as it relates to my trying to be a nice, down-to-earth, love Jesus, but there's something that threatens our love. Oh, my God. And the Bible says there's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper, but the weapon is formed. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's not been let go, but it's formed. But greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. But there's some folk who seem to have your number. There's some folk that seem to have everything they need to touch you the wrong way. And love is at stake. Who can separate us? Who can unhinge us? Who can make us mad? Who can begin to challenge us in the love we've developed for Jesus Christ? And there was a reason that Paul shared that. Because of the persecuted church. And there's a reason he wrote that. Because there were folk who had this whole goal in mind. And Paul would know. His M.O. is that he used to persecute the church. His name used to be Saul. He was a bad somebody. So if anybody could talk about who, Paul would be the one. But he writes to encourage the church to hang in there. To don't give up and continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so now that you've identified in your own mind's eye that who, begin to pray for them. And now that you've gotten that who on the table, I didn't start it, but begin to love them with the love of Jesus Christ. That who, that person that causes you all the pain, begin to love them in such a, it still becomes the evidence that you are a disciple. But here is the problem, and Paul lays it out. He says, who shall separate from the love of Christ? And he says, trouble. He begins to name the things that affect us. Who hadn't been in trouble or caused some trouble or started some trouble? But he says, trouble, as the backup choir saying, trouble in my way. Oh, look at that. I have to cry sometime. I stay awake at night, but that's all right. And I know Jesus will fix it. And that's not a cop-out. He will. But trouble will still show up. Amen? Amen? And so Paul begins to list what he knows and has observed. Trouble and then hardship. Yeah. Akin to hard, rough, tough. On the mat, but he says, you're going through this. The problem is that there's some hardship in your life that you have to deal with, and it's all getting in the way of your loving Christ with all your heart. And then persecution. Reverend, I'm not back in the old days, but there are some folk who may be persecuting you in such a way that you have to stand on the Word of God. He says famine. Well, Rabbi, I got plenty of food in the cupboard. So there's some things you're lacking in your own life that you don't have. And so he lays out one by one, nakedness. That's when you come in a place of life. I got clothes, but I feel like I'm not being used. I got a three-piece suit, but I still got problems. Amen? He begins to list them one after the other. Sword. Yeah, that means something that can hurt you. Yeah. Sword is not just for a display. But these are the things he describes that get in the way, that become the evidence of our not being able to embrace the love of Christ. And then verse 36, within the problem, for your sake we face death all day long, or we are killed all day long. Reverend, I've not been threatened, but yes, I have, because the enemy is always on our track. That every day you step out as a believer, you got to fight the good fight of faith. Every time you stand for Jesus, the enemy is always mad. Aren't you glad today that God has already lifted up a standard against them, that you ain't got to worry? But it exists. That every day you face someone trying to kill your spirit. Look at that, look at that, look at that. Trying to kill your joy. Trying to kill your peace. Trying to kill your progress. Trying to kill your success. Why? There's a spirit of jealousy. Yeah, folks trying to kill you. They may have a weapon, but they're trying to separate you from the love of Jesus. Evidence. In courtroom A, evidence that we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Man, sheep knew when they were about to be slaughtered. Amen? They knew something was about to happen. When you see trouble coming your way, but know that you never walk alone in the Lord. Amen? That you are never alone. He's always with you. There is people or persons. There is a problem, and we name them one by one, and your list is longer because you thought of five more things that folk have been trying to do to steal your joy. But there is a process. Verse 37, no or nay in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Isn't that great? Don't that bring a smile to your face that in spite of whatever trap the enemy had set for you, that you're not just a conqueror, but you are more than a conqueror. You're not just existing, but you are a child of the High King. You're not just, oh, no, you are somebody in the Lord. That in all of these things, in all of the trouble you face, in all of the things that were trying to steal your joy, that you are a conqueror. Now, how many folk really believe that? That sounded good. No, I mean, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that scripture. I may not have the skill set, but I can do them. Ever been on a job somewhere and they ask you what your skill? You kind of padded it up a little bit, knowing you weren't qualified. And you say, Holy Spirit, help me. Didn't he do it? And that makes you more than a conqueror. You can take out the enemy by just praying unto him. There is that process. The evidence. The who, the what, the when, the where. And knowing that, every now and then you'll be called to the witness stand to defend your faith. Just because you love God, you got to go back to courtroom A. Amen? And in that setting, you can testify on what God has done in your life. Every now and then, you might be cross-examined. And cross-examination is used to get favorable facts. One judge may say, now, what did you say again? You said on the night of October the 21st, you were well. It's cross-examination. It works in the favor of a particular attorney. And don't you know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you're always under cross, or y'all know where I'm going, a cross-examination? But there's something about that cross. Don't fear when you're being cross-examined. Don't worry when you're being cross-examined. Why? Because you know something about the cross. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sad me. Oh, troubled me. Oh, frustrated me. I don't mind, says I will tell the truth. So help me God. And when you think about on where he's brought you from, I want to just go back to those things that get in the way. You can turn your trouble into a testimony. Say, child, you don't know what he's done for me. Your hardship can become a hallelujah. Anyhow, your persecution can become your praise. That famine can become a faith starter. The nakedness can become a no thank you. That danger you face becomes your determination. That sword becomes your sanctified mom. And don't you know that we are a community, and again, we are more than conquerors? Why? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I aren't you glad to have a right on time, God? I need him. He's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. Ask me how I know he lives. I'm just going to double dog dare you. Ask me. I dare you to ask me how I know him. Ask me how I know him. Ask me how I know he will. Oh, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. How many folks want to ask him? How do you know he lives? How do you know, Reverend, he lives within my heart? And I'm glad today that he lives. I'm glad today that I can walk and talk in this narrow way just because he lives. And there was something that was trying to every time they did that, you just rose up in Jesus. Every time they scandalized your name, you rose up in Jesus. Every time a hardship came, you say, Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done. Every time the enemy tried to bring you down, you said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. All of my help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Aren't you glad today that there's evidence in the love of Jesus Christ? You tried everything you could. The devil assigned someone to try and discourage you. And then went one by one, everything they thought would bring you down. But you are more than a conqueror. Amen. Come on, give God the praise today. Come on, stand over this place today. We serve a great God. Where is the evidence? It was laid out. Just like last time, the enemy thought he had a case. Thought he had won that thing. But Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. On tomorrow, where's the evidence? Part 3. But let's take a moment even now to present Christ to you. We offer Christ to you, oh my brother, oh my sister. It's the holiest time because we have a generation that knows not Jesus. And mama didn't know Jesus, and mamas didn't know Jesus. And so we are called as believers to share our testimony. Maybe you've come tonight and you've never opened your mouth to Jesus Christ. And say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. saved me from my sins. And what's so great about that, he can do it right now on the spot. The Bible said, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Christ has been raised from the dead by his Father, thou shalt be saved.